Welcome to The Real Fake News on kpcradio.com, a critically sarcastic analysis of news. In this show, we differentiate the real news from the fake with help from comedians, advocates, and experts. And today we're going to be discussing voting rights for felons, tuition-free college, a comedian president, and more. I'm your host, Jesse Bertel. Joining me here today, we have comedian and progressive activist Elizabeth Croydon.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's good.
And we have best-selling author and organizer Luis J. Rodriguez. How you doing?
My pleasure.
Yeah.
Thank you both for being here. I really appreciate it. Our discussion today is going to be formatted as a game of real news, fake news. So I'm going to present real news stories or fake news stories, and then I'm just going to ask you questions about it. We'll have some fun.
Sound All right. good? All right. Yeah, I'm game.
You ready? Let's play the game. In fake news, Fox News, the mainstream fake news, reported that Bernie Sanders went too far during a CNN forum where he said that prisoners should be able to vote in a democracy. Now, Luis, I know you have spent a lot of time advocating for criminal justice reform. Do you think Bernie Sanders is a terrible person for wanting terrible people to vote?
No, obviously not. You know, what I would worry, if Trump should worry, when all his people go to prison. And maybe he may not have this position, you know, because he's worried about the Boston Strangler, but he might end up in prison. He's going to want the vote. I know, I think everybody that, your citizenship shouldn't be revoked if you commit a crime. And that's what they're basically saying, that everybody should vote, no matter what you've done. Most of the people behind bars aren't Boston Stranglers. They're people caught up in drug laws and a bunch of stuff, domestic violence, a bunch of stuff. They should not revoke their citizenship.
But even the Boston Strangler should vote?
Well, of course, if you're going to have everybody vote, might as well have him vote, have him have a say, but his say is not going to be as important as what they make it out to be. You know what I'm saying? In other words, they focus on him, they build him up, and he's the guy that, oh, no, I don't want the Boston Strangler. He's one guy out of millions, 2.1 million prisoners, you know what I mean? And most of them are not Boston Stranglers. So don't take away people's citizenship rights.
Elizabeth?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't really think that we should be worried about the Boston Strangler voting when there is a president that has 16 allegations against him for sexual assault, and he's still allowed to be president. So amen and amen there. In fact, I would think that the conservatives would want felons to vote given all of the white-collar criminals and felons that are there. I would imagine that they would like their economic criminal buddies to be able to have a say in what we're doing legislatively. So I would think it would work in their favor. Really, what it's about is the most dangerous thing, I think, regarding this news story is that it gives insiders into the prison hierarchy and systems a chance to shoot down private prisons and vote for true reform. And if you're going to have citizens be truly reformed, you need to make engaging the system accessible so they can actually reach into the system and find out that they have a visceral pathway to participate, which many people in the criminal system don't necessarily exercise because they're not aware. So I think it's fantastic on many levels, and I'm all for it. Especially because institutionalized racism is built into the prison system. And so what you have are Baltimore, Maryland area in the United States building prisons for kids to go straight into high school detention. They wind up in adult prison. They have no concept of political science or the three branches of the government, and that their vote and voice matters. And that's so important to rehabilitating people to a brighter perspective of life and flourishing. Please cue the patriotic music and the mariachi band that I brought with me.
Any other thoughts on this?
Well, no, except that I think that the problem with the voting rights thing is that they're trying to take it away from non-felons. They're trying to take it from whole communities, the way that they're doing these voter purges and everything. So they're really just trying to exclude a lot of people from doing what it should be their right to do. And the prison thing is just, to me, like a distraction to what's really happening.
Yeah, that sounds fair. Well, let's go ahead and play again. All right. In real news, Ukrainian incumbent President Petro Poroshenko lost the election in a landslide defeat to a comedian, Volodymyr Zelensky. the new president of Ukraine. In addition to this being Ukraine's first comedian president, it also marks the first time Ukraine has elected a Jewish leader. So my question is, should Zelensky, who has no previous political experience other than the fact that he plays a president in the country's popular TV show, should he be the actual president? And what does this tell us maybe about political frustration?
I think it says a lot. It says that the people who were trained and groomed to be politicians have failed. And so now people are looking at, well, let's go somewhere else. Let's look at the trash man, you know, whatever it might be. In other words, they're not looking at credentials anymore in that area because a lot of these people aren't coming through. But even think of Trump. Trump never ran for office. Trump was a reality TV guy, you know, and now he's president. It's already changing already around the world. There's a comedian now that's president of Guatemala. Comedians probably have a good upper chance here.
Really? There's one in Guatemala too?
Yeah.
I ran for Congress myself, and I placed second with in my party. I ran third party in the memory of a late friend, Green Party.
Yeah, he ran as well for the governor as well.
Right on. I love the Verde Party, and I came in second with a budget of $573.63, and the Democratic person that placed penultimately, he came in with a budget of $12 million. Mm. So why not the comedian? Why not the joke? Everything that is entrenched right now in the system has been building toward these wars perpetuating these ongoing wars to such a degree that it is ridiculous, and people are looking for levity and for people that aren't sold solely on the war mindset of promoting this violence and genocide that's going down in that area. Heck yes, I'd vote for a comedian for president in Ukraine politics. They need a comedian with the onslaught of the Russian-backed guerrillas in east of Crimea. It is a Crimea River. You absolutely need every punchline that you can pull in order to give people hope. And I think a great coping mechanism is comedy. And unfortunately, we've elected a stand-up reality tragedian.
Yeah, he's not a comedian, no. But our president is a joke.
He is a joke. It is amazing what skills are required as a comedian to lead people. You have to unify people. So I say yes. I'll be registering for my 2020 campaign as soon as we get Joe Biden out of the way, and then I'll
old gropey hands.
Gropey hands. Yeah,
that's my nickname for him.
I love it. I love it. He's got big hands. So I'm very excited about the idea that someone with no experience but a whole lot of heart, who ran a campaign based on his differences from the entrenched campaigns, won. I'm really, really excited about that, and I hope that we see progress. It would be amazing because he is so far outside of the system that that he would be likely to make progress.
Exactly. Well, no surprise that our comedian guest has so much to say about a comedian president.
He'll probably be tied to a chair and put up in front of a firing squad.
On that note, let's play a game. Let's do another news story. In fake news, Common Dreams reported that Wall Street executives are on the record saying that their biggest fear is anti-Wall Street crusaders like Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. Do these executives have enough power to control democracy, or is this fake news?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Everything's shifting now, and everybody knows it's shifting. We are aware of the 1% more than we ever have been. And I've seen this now with young people. When I ran for governor, it was up and down the state. Young people would show up, especially at these community colleges. They wanted to have answers. They knew about the inequalities of wealth and in other words, they understand things that a lot of people don't think they do because they've been indoctrinated not to think this way, but they have figured out, possibly through the internet, that there really is a class and power in this country. It's held by a small number of people. And yes, that's why they're going to be challenged. I'm really amazed at all the challenges coming out of those women that now are in Congress, all of them stepping up and saying, we don't want to be part of the system. We want something new and vibrant to come in. People are eating that up because that's what everybody's looking for.
Elizabeth?
Well, I can't help but be reminded of the poor woman who was working on Wall Street that found her Bernie Sanders coffee cup missing and went to the top shelf of the snack room in her Wall Street office and found feces in her Bernie Sanders cup. Mm. So clearly Wall Street feels very strongly that both Warren and Sanders should be kept out. And Pelosi has recently been called out in the news for saying it's quite all right to rig an election. Mm. And I absolutely think that if you look at the history of Washington, especially from the year 2000, where we saw all of these hanging chads disqualified in Florida and a record number of black people disenfranchised from their vote through various methods and campaigns in Florida, thanks to Jeb Bush, that a primary can be rigged for their candidates. And that if Joe Biden has the Comcast lobbyists on his side, he clearly has media on his side. The problem is that they still have to give some sort of veneer or loophole for freedom to slip right through. You can't rig the entire election in this country, I don't think, without the people being aware of it at this time. Bernie Sanders was an amazing politician for not giving up his list of supporters. And he spent the last several years building those supporters and informing those supporters as to what to look for propaganda and spin entrenched in the democratic system. So I do think that while we're going to see Joe Biden and Cory Booker and all of the people that have sold out to the pharmaceutical and Wall Street industries cram down our throat, I still think that it will be one of the most visceral elections and that we will see a will of the people come shining through. I know what
I
is
so.
Fake news.
I hope you're right.
It's the CNN poll recently that put Biden out in front of Bernie.
It was all made up.
Yeah. They only polled people above the years of 50 years of age. They polled no millennials whatsoever or young people. So Generation X says they're going to lose. The establishment will go down.
CNN's at it again. Huh? All right. Well, let's play again. In real news, Elizabeth Warren wants to cancel student debt and make public colleges tuition free. Can we just cancel student debt? I mean, that sounds great to me. I owe a lot of money for my grad school.
Well, here's the thing. Again, we said it's all made up. It is made up. These things were made up in offices, banks. People set up and said, listen, how are we going to make money off all these kids? How are we going to make money off kids wanting education? There was a time, and even I was around, where you can go to UC Berkeley with no tuition. What happened in 50 years, 40 years? So I think we have to realize that once they rig the game up, then they want us all to play. I think it needs to be completely abolished. We know that around the Europe and other places, I was even in Argentina to have free education. Argentina is a poor country. And I went to, and I thought their universities were little shacks somewhere, you know, really nice universities, free education. Even Argentina can do it. So I think free education should be a right. It should be what everybody should have access to. You need education to get out in the world. It's not like a luxury. They should abolish all the debt and get young people or anybody that wants to go to school, get the best education possible, get it free, and then contribute to making this a better world.
I'm all for it. Yeah. What about you?
I'm definitely down to cancel some debt, and I think Elizabeth Warren's plan is very reasonable given that it's on a scale of what your income is, and 86% of the students in debt would absolutely see great stress taken off of their back from this, and I think that's a tremendous attack on stimulating the economy that is a definite win. And as Louise pointed out, these numbers, I mean, the whole debt thing is crazy. I will never forget the day, the time while Obama was running for president and Wall Street crashed. I heard someone from the Lehman Brothers speak on NPR. And they said to him, the question was to this economist, you know, is this technically illegal, selling debt for profit. And he said, well, yes, technically it is illegal, and it would be extraordinary if these numbers actually existed. But the magical thing is that this debt doesn't actually exist. It is a negative zero, in essence. So we bundle this debt that doesn't actually exist over to this debt, and it gets a bigger value. And then we sell this debt for a profit, which would be illegal if this money actually existed. But because it is in the negative, there is no existence of this money, and so we can make a profit off of a profit. That's why I believe in, yes, dollars and cents being the ultimate common sense. This whole thing about holding people accountable, very tricky. Very, very tricky. I think that college should be free. But then you deal with an educated public that isn't going to settle into their Walmart job under fluorescent lighting for minimum wage very easily. You're going to see a lot of people waking up and understanding that the economic value of their shampoo is an absolute ripoff, and they won't be buying that shampoo. You're going to see, you know, old structures topple and new structures be built, and that's frightening. It's frightening for the dinosaurs that are in the corners of our foundations.
So how could canceling student debt help the economy?
Well, for one thing, an educated population is going to be a better population. Like as she points out, you're not going to be falling for all the scams that people give you. You're educated. You can challenge them. I think all of it is a big illusion that we've made into reality. Mortgages are a big illusion. Somebody decided how much a house is worth, and then pretty soon you don't have a house. Wage system is a big illusion. We're fighting for 15 an hour, but 15 an hour is not even going to pay your bills. So I think what happens is they don't realize that they've built a foundation of an economy based on all this made-up stuff. Credit cards, all illusions. The debt that she's talking about, we're all in debt. You cannot even get a good credit score unless you're in debt. Debt is what runs the whole country, but it's all made up. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. More money for comedy, more money for rock shows, more money for vacation. That requires alternative fuel for your alternative car that you can magically afford. More money to buy one of 15 of Luis Rodriguez's books that he wrote. It's what goes around comes around, and that's how it will stimulate the economy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I guess let's go ahead and move on to another story. In fake news, the Washington Examiner claims that Trump's Federal Reserve appointee Stephen Moore's $75,000 tax lien is fake news from the lying liberal media. Is this fake news, or do Republicans have a very different idea of what fake news is?
Well, what I understand is there is actually being, he made a mistake on his tax thing. It's actually a true thing. Now, they're trying to say, well, it's just a mistake. It's no big deal. Don't give the guy a hard time.
But the news, honest mistake.
Exactly. But the news is that he did that. They're quoting the right thing. In other words, he actually is.
And he's the
problems.
Federal Reserve appointee.
The guy that's like better. Running everything. You know, I made mistakes on my taxes. They come and audit me, and they take my money. You know what I mean? And there's no buts about it. You can't even argue with these people. You can't. So they should go after them. But the real point is, why should you be running our financial situation? So to me, that's what people got to question. How can somebody who's supposed to be helping an economy at some level can't even keep his own economy going?
Right. Like this whole number thing, you know, I used to think that math was a definitive art and it eluded me. But it turns out that it's much more like Shakespeare. You can do a math equation where 2 and 2 equals 4. But it's much more interesting to say 2 and 2 equals 10 if you know how to work it. And then you enter the Church of the Mighty Mae West in your mathematics and you become like a Shakespeare of mathematician. And sure, you made the mistake on your taxes, but because of some loophole, you're able to hold the IRS accountable for that mistake, making it the IRS's fault, or at least sharing fault, or presenting an argument for a duly shared fault, and you have a very slippery, tricky economist in the position to be able to do that double speak. I mean, Stephen Moore is not just, you know, the appointee to the Federal Reserve. He's the Heritage Foundation economist. this guy is skilled at arguing about how you should take money out of poor people's pockets and keep it in wealthy people's pockets, and how to magnify the mathematics and logic of doing so.
Yeah, he said that we should tax the poor people more. They're not being taxed enough.
Yeah, I found it really interesting in the article that you sent us to prep for this, that they likened the whole situation to the mistake in the movie Brazil that Terry Gilliam directed, where they pick up the wrong man as a terrorist because the fly fell from the ceiling and the typewriter typed Tuttle instead of Buttle, and set an entire torturous ordeal off. In a dystopian nightmare, which of course we're not living in. Definitely not living in dystopia.
I mean, I like the comparison, but I don't think it's accurate.
You know,
I love the movie Brazil, but do you think that that's an? I mean, that was to emphasize his point. That
right.
This fake news, right?
Right. No, I don't. I don't think that it is likable to Brazil. I find it all very, very interesting, and I'd like to close with this note. Do what keepeth thou from wilting shall be the loophole in the law. And this guy is definitely a Slytherin character, Stephen Moore.
Any other thoughts on this?
Nope, got it.
All right, well, we are about out of time here. So before I go, I would like to give both of you a chance to tell our listeners where they can find out more about you. Luis, did you want to start?
Well, yeah. Me and my wife, Trini, started Tia Chucha Center Cultural and Bookstore in Sylmar. It's the only comprehensive arts, culture center, and bookstore for 500,000 people.
That's so
in
incredible.
The Northeast Valley. And we have our Celebrating Words Festival, our 14th annual. And everybody's welcome. It's in Pacoima City Hall. It's Saturday, May 18th from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. Free. We get free books. We have art. We have music. We have dance. We have poetry. We have Aztec dance. We have food trucks. We have a little marketplace of local vendors. All free. 1,000 people show up. And I would say one thing about the media. They never come and cover it. If somebody gets shot,
that's nice.
They'll be there. I feel like shooting somebody just to get the media there. No, I'm not going to do that.
But they'd cover it for all the wrong reasons.
The point is, when you do nice things and the community's there, nobody's hurting each other, the media's never there. So anyway, please come.
Unless it's in Beverly Hills.
It's there.
Elizabeth, do you want to plug anything?
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm flying out to D.C. for a month, and you can follow me and my escapades on my Twitter at E. Croydon, C-R-O-Y, because you want to, D-O-N. And you can find me on Instagram at Elizabeth Croydon or EC Does It Comedy Mike. And I will be joining producer, comedian Lila Hart in June on Saturday nights at the Skip Down Playhouse in Hollywood for her show Small Talk. I'll be anchoring her lead as she takes us on a wild ride through popular culture and anything really that catches her interest. My movie Underbelly Blues is out on Amazon Prime and is free to Prime members. And I'm just happy to be here. Thank you for giving a comedian a platform for her presidential campaign.
Thank you so much for coming in, both of you. I really appreciate
it. Yeah.
And thanks to our listeners for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and Patreon at Jesse Bertel.